Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Really excited to welcome our next guest, first time ever on the show, Matt Manoogian, who is the Director of Research for Sports Information Solutions. They've got the SIS Football Rookie Handbook, which he edited. So a lot of work going into preparation for the draft. And Matt, I got to know, is the draft like a holiday for you, like Christmas?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as a scout, we used to always joke around that it's like you finally get to open up the presents. And to some extent, that happens when you're actually drafting them. You find out who you're going to get. But then when you bring them in for the mini camps and you really get to see them kind of on the hoof, as we say, in scouting parlance, it's definitely exactly like Christmas.
How much have you seen the scouting department and the scouting role change over the course of your time, not just when you're with the Saints and the Browns, but now working as someone who puts together the information for teams?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty interesting, you know, in terms of like the scouts that are working for teams, you're seeing scouting staffs get younger and get a little bit bigger, which I think is kind of interesting as you keep an eye on that. And then in terms of what we're learning as scouts is that things that used to really matter a lot, like quarterback height, obviously is a big one. That sort of thing is really not as important anymore. We're starting to do a better job of connecting the traits that actually matter and are predictive of success. So one that I love to talk about is quarterback accuracy rather than arm strength. Those sorts of things are more predictive of success, and so we're being more tuned in to looking at those things. So it's kind of a golden age that I think that's coming, that's come along with this kind of, everybody's got access to the film right now. You can look up the All 22 and you can find it. So having that sort of access amongst not just all of the teams, but also amongst all of the fans and all of the media, I think it raises everybody's game.
Well, if that's the case then, and QB height is not nearly as critical as it used to be, but accuracy is more important. You've got one quarterback, one very high-profile quarterback who's available in this draft out of Oklahoma, Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy winner. If the height isn't as critical, how do you rate him then on the other stats, the other areas where you believe they are more critical and better predictors?
So in our draft guide, the Football Rookie Handbook, the SIS Football Rookie Handbook, we break it down, and we actually have Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins tied as the top grade. We have Dwayne Haskins 1, Kyler Murray 2, but they're both at the 6.8 grade. And that 6.8 grade, that corresponds to the NFL-style scale that I learned when I was with the Saints and with the Browns as a scout, where a 6.8 would be like a solid starter. You know, once you get to the 7.0 range, you're talking about all pros, pro bowlers. When you're in the high sixes, that's a very good player. So we think those two guys have opportunities to be really good starters. After that, I think there's a huge drop-off. One kind of stat that I think is really crazy that just goes into how effective on the field Kyler Murray was this year relative to all the other quarterbacks in the draft. We have a statistic called expected points added. So we're familiar with talking about yards, touchdowns, and interceptions, but if we put it all into the context of points, how many points were you responsible for on all passing plays and quarterback running plays? There were three quarterbacks with more than 100 expected points added this year. Dwayne Haskins was number 3 at 137. Will Greer is number 2 at 140. Mm. Kyler Murray is number 1 at 237.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it's just absolutely off the charts where he was in terms of his performance on the field this year. So there's a lot of upside there with him.
So then, without the numbers, as a scout, you're telling me this is a guy who you would expect to be a top flight starter?
Yeah, I think that when you look at him from a scouting perspective, you see he's got a great arm. You see he's got great feet. You see he's got an ability to process quickly and make decisions. He's definitely a dual threat type of player who can run the ball and pass the ball. And he's very accurate, you know, kind of like these Drew Brees, Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson, get the ball out quickly, almost more like a shortstop than like a traditional quarterback. He's a point guard. He's one of these guys. So I think there's a lot of upside there. I think the risk really with him, not so much his height is what concerns me, because I think in the modern NFL, in a system that you're going to play him in, it's going to be a lot of shotgun, and he's shown an ability to throw the ball over 6'5" offensive linemen in college and even in high school, if you look at some of his teammates that he's had. But I think what I worry about is the frailty. And just with a quarterback where he might be on the move a little bit, you know, from anybody from Pat White to RG3, that's something that you got to worry about when you have a quarterback who likes to run like that.
Mm. Matt Manoogian is a former scout in the NFL with both the Saints and the Browns, and now is the director of research and football at Sports Info Solutions. And they've got this incredible tool called the SIS Football Rookie Handbook. I've got it. It is a wealth of information. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So then other than the height, what's the biggest difference, even though you gave them both high grades, between Murray and Haskins?
So I described Murray a little bit. When I look at Haskins, I look at somebody who's less of like kind of a boom or bust prospect. I could see Murray really going on. He's got that it factor where you could really see him being a star. I don't see that kind of upside with Haskins, but I also see a higher floor when you look at him. I think there's a slimmer range of outcomes that you look at with him. Not a very good athlete at all. Not somebody who's going to be running around a lot. And he's much better on the quick timing, get the ball out of his hands quickly, throw short yardage throws, West Coast type quarterback, rather than somebody who's going to be able to, you know, either get the ball down the field or run around with it a lot. So it's going to be a particular type of system that he fits in, but at the same time, he's shown a real proficiency in doing those sort of things, shows an ability to understand what the defense is giving him and make good decisions. So I really like both of these guys a lot, especially relative to the other quarterbacks in this draft.
Obviously, quarterbacks get a lot of attention, though we're unlikely to have five selected in the first round as we did a spring ago. But what are some of the other positions, even specific players, who rated really high when you compiled all the numbers?
Yeah, I mean, rightfully so in terms of not as many quarterbacks going in the first round this year. Last year was a really special year, and I think, you know, all those guys have a chance to be really good quarterbacks in the NFL. This year's all about the defensive line. Our number one player in the draft kind of by far kind of blows away the competition was Quinnen Williams, the defensive tackle out of Alabama. Now, you got to remember, we put out the Football Rookie Handbook in February. You know, one thing I love about this book as a scout is that it's got your February board before you're clouded by all the combine stuff and the measurables and pro days and all the different nonsense that we hear about. This is just what the players do in college. What do they look like as prospects, as football players? And Quinnen Williams, before anything, we had him as the top guy. He ran a 4.8 as a 300-pounder at the combine. So that just gives you an idea of the sort of athleticism. It's all about his first-step explosion when you look at him. He's got power. He's scheme versatile. He can play in a one-gapping scheme, a two-gapping scheme, so 3-4, 4-3, whatever you want to do with him. I think he's the biggest difference maker. And then looking back at the, you know, right behind him, I like all the other defensive linemen in the top of this draft. I love Nick Bosa. I love Ed Oliver. And then guys really interesting off the edge, Josh Allen, Montez Sweat. That's really the position group I look at that I get the most excited for.
When you were with the Saints and the Browns, which were the factors, which were the parts of the research that carried the most weight?
So everything starts with the film. I would say that, you know, the film is the bulk of the evaluation. That's your meat and potatoes, and it's your sides also, really. You have to have a consensus about the film and what the player is when you look at him and understand how he's going to fit into the sort of vision that you have for him in your program. So that's number one thing, but there's a lot of other things that fit into it too. The medical is an important piece of it, where there'll be times where your doctors will tell you, hey, he's got a degenerative condition. We got to take him off the board. You know, Montez Sweat, a guy I just mentioned, he's got a heart condition and, you know, I hope it doesn't affect his draft status too much. I think he can be a special player. Even more importantly, I hope it doesn't affect his career. But this could be a sort of situation where a team ends up getting a steal because players like this, you know, you look at a Jalen Smith on the Cowboys now, players sometimes drop because of these injury things and they end up being able to recover from them okay. So the injuries, the character is absolutely huge. It's not just the character in terms of does he have off-field incidents, but what's his football character? Mm. What is this guy going to bring to our team in terms of leadership? That's one of the most important traits when it comes to quarterbacks. And that's, I think, a reason why Baker Mayfield was able to be successful. You can say what you want about, you know, some of his antics, but in terms of the way he leads his football team, I don't think there's ever a question about that.
Matt Manoogian is the director of football and research with Sports Info Solutions, and they've got the Football Rookie Handbook. It's a really cool tool that is designed to make you the GM, so it's not just for football peeps. It's also for fans who want to get involved. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Another position that we're hearing a lot about in this draft is wide receiver. Who are a couple of wide receivers that caught your eye?
Yeah, we're always going to talk about the wide receivers, and we had three guys kind of tied at the top of our ranking. The guy that I like the most is N'Keal Harry out of Arizona State. This is a big receiver, a go-up-and-get-it type, you know, your power-forward type receiver. Ridiculous hands, great run-after-catch ability, and he's got a lot of the analytics to match it. So not somebody who I think has been a name that people maybe have been talked about as much as some other guys, but somebody I really like there. And then there's two other guys. The teammates from Ole Miss, you got DK Metcalf and you've got AJ Brown. I think both these guys are really interesting. I'm not as interested in DK Metcalf on the sort of high end. I don't think of him as sort of like a top 10 prospect like some people were talking about around the time of the combine, but I do see him as a very good, very high upside receiver, kind of an interesting guy when you look at the analytics, because there are some conflicting things in terms of his, you know, ridiculous upside and measurables, but then some of the limited production and the injuries that he's been through. His teammate, A.J. Brown, I think is a really interesting guy to slide in there into a slot. And then you also look at guys like Marquise Hollywood Brown, and is interesting in this draft. There's Debo Samuel from South Carolina, and the list goes on. So more depth in the receiver class than what I would call high-end talent. I don't know if there are a lot of guys I'd really want to be thinking about in the first round, and certainly not at the high end of the first round. But then as you get deeper into the draft, you know, running backs and receivers, these guys tend to exist. They tend to be left on your board late in the draft. Mm-hmm. And I think you can get some really good value at those positions later rather than earlier, at those two in particular.
So how much less stressful is it watching as someone who does the information, the work beforehand, as opposed to being in a war room or being a scout whose maybe livelihood depends on your evaluations?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, it's still my job. So I'm still interested and I'm as tuned in as ever. And you don't really learn anything on the draft. You know, you find out where people go, but you don't actually find out who was right and who was wrong. Mm. I remember being a rookie scout and I didn't have a very high opinion of Justin Pugh, who was the Giants draft pick out of Syracuse. I thought, you know, he's maybe a late second round type guy. But I didn't see him as really upgrading the offensive line. Giants took him in the late first round, and I remember a scout said to me, "Oh, how does it feel to have your first miss?" And I said, you know, hold on, let's pump our brakes. We don't really know who hits and misses until we find out how they play out in their careers. So you know, we only learned so much tonight, but definitely in New Orleans, it was fascinating watching the process and how Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton collaborated, and it was interesting. In Cleveland, it was frightening because they kicked us out of the draft room, and it was the owner talking to homeless guys and us finding about it on TV and not following our recommendations at all. So that was very stressful, yes.
Things have definitely changed in Cleveland now.
Yeah, things seem to be better. We'll see. You never know. The owner's the same, and I always want to point sports fans back to the owners of their favorite teams, because that's usually going to dictate an outsized amount of what goes on. But certainly, they have a bunch of things in order now in Cleveland.
Hmm. You can follow Matt on Twitter at Matt Mano, M-A-N-O, and Matt Manoogian is the director of football and research. And the SIS Football Rookie Handbook is amazing. I've had a chance to look through it, to read. It's really cool, Matt. So thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Thank you for having me. You can get the book on actasports.com. It's actasports.com. Or since the draft is right around the corner, you can order it on Amazon. It's available on Prime. There's a Kindle version you can download right now. It's the perfect draft day tool.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.